Tonight is the 10th Democratic presidential candidates debate and the final time seven candidates, Joe Biden, Michael Bloomberg, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer, and Elizabeth Warren will be on stage together before the South Carolina primary this Saturday and before Super Tuesday next Tuesday. Joining us now is NPR senior political editor and correspondent Domenico Montanaro. Hi, Domenico.
Hey, Jeremy.
Okay, so this is going to be quite something to watch, I think, tonight. The thinking is that front runner Bernie Sanders is going to be the focus of many attacks tonight because he's now the front runner. Overnight, he released a list of how he plans to pay for proposals like Medicare for All and a Green New Deal. What's he going to be facing tonight?
Funny how that happens the day of a debate, so that you make sure you have your talking points down.
And nobody has any time to read them either and come up with responses.
Yeah, but that's going to be one of the lines of attack for those moderates who feel like they need to stop Bernie Sanders' momentum as he's heading into Super Tuesday. You know, Bernie Sanders did quite well in Nevada. That overwhelming victory, in particular with Latinos, was really eye-opening for a lot of people. I mean, he blew away the field with them. And when you look to Super Tuesday and start gaming things out, California and Texas have huge populations of Latinos. And if Bernie Sanders runs up the score with them the way he did in Nevada, there may be no catching him for a pledged delegate lead. So, you know, this is one place where some of those moderates, instead of focusing so much attention on Mike Bloomberg as they did last time, they may be looking at Bernie Sanders. Of course, Bloomberg is going to be right in the middle of things probably once again because he did not have a good debate last time. He even admits that, and he's got a lot to answer for on his record.
Sanders is facing criticism for praising Cuban dictator Fidel Castro. And on CNN last night, he doubled down.
He initiated a major literacy program. There was a lot of folks in Cuba at that point who were illiterate. And he formed the Literacy Brigade. You may read that. He went out and they helped people learn to read and write. You know what? I think teaching people to read and write is a good thing.
So, Domenico, leaving aside the fact that President Trump has said he fell in love with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, Sanders rejected the idea that his views on this are radical or extreme. How big of a problem is this kind of thing going to be for him, especially in attracting more moderate Democrats?
Well, there's kind of a glib thing that a lot of people say during campaigns, and that's if you're explaining, you're losing. And it's sort of one of these things that, you know, a lot of Sanders supporters get very annoyed when they hear people say, equating what Sanders believes to socialism. They say, hey, you got to explain that it's democratic socialism. Most Americans don't know the difference or make that distinction. There is certainly a difference between how Norway and Denmark, you know, conduct their societies and more along the lines of the economic philosophy of Bernie Sanders than, say, Venezuela or Nicaragua or something like that. So there are differences, but even being in that conversation is potentially problematic for a lot of center-right leaning Democrats, and they're nervous in those districts, in those 40 districts plus that Democrats won in. They're nervous about running with Bernie Sanders on their ticket because of how gerrymandered these districts have been. You know, so Bernie Sanders is, you know, he's faced more scrutiny this time than in 2016, but he's about to have the dump truck backed up on him, you know, whether that's from these Democratic candidates or from President Trump, because the Republicans just have all this oppo ready to go. And this wasn't even oppo. This was something he said last night.
Mike Bloomberg has a lot on the line, as you said, tonight after that widely panned debate last week. Yesterday, the Bloomberg campaign released a digital ad using some of Sanders' own words on gun control against him. Listen.
In Vermont, until last 2 years ago, we had virtually no gun control legislation at all, and I represented that perspective.
So that's the ad that Bloomberg is putting out there. But what is at stake for Bloomberg tonight when he is not in a scripted format like an ad and has to actually respond, as he did last week, to the other candidates?
You know, I heard Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, who was President Obama's chief of staff, and more importantly, from my perspective, ran the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee that helped get Democrats elected in 2006. He was talking about how annoyed he was watching the Democratic candidates not attack Bernie Sanders on guns at the last debate in Las Vegas, given that Las Vegas had been the site of a horrific mass shooting, in having to make Sanders answer for his positions on guns. Now, Sanders would say that what Bloomberg has put out there is out of context, that his views are far more progressive than he's making them out to be. But that is one area where he doesn't line up as progressively as the rest of his positions. The one issue that Bloomberg and some of the other moderates are going to have in attacking Sanders is that Sanders is very well liked within the Democratic among Democratic voters. I almost said Democratic Party. I don't know if that's true. But among Democratic voters, he is definitely probably the most liked person in this race. If you look at 538's average of favorability ratings, he was a plus 51, meaning, you know, more people liked him than disliked him by a very wide margin. You know, that's different in a general election, but that is the problem with trying to attack him personally, and by the way, on Medicare for All, his principal healthcare position, which is very popular among Democrats, not popular with the American general election electorate more broadly.
What about Joe Biden? He came in a very distant second in Nevada last weekend. He did not do well in Iowa or New Hampshire. He's saying he expects to do well in South Carolina. But is this state coming up this Saturday the last stand for Biden?
It's a must win. And his campaign will even admit to that. You know, there was a time when we were all saying, you know, he needs a big win. And now his campaign, especially looking at what Tom Steyer has done in the state, is saying a win is a win, because Steyer has spent $21 million in the state on ads targeting African-Americans in particular. And that is the key core group in South Carolina in a Democratic primary. In 2016, 61% of the Democratic electorate were black. And, you know, when you look at what Biden did in Nevada, he won African-Americans, but only narrowly over Sanders. And we're seeing polling where his, you know, advantage is slipping. He's only up a few points, it looks like. His team will take, it doesn't matter, a one-vote victory they feel like will propel them into Super Tuesday, because half of the states on Super Tuesday have significant black populations. But if Sanders is winning half of the black population compared to Biden, and Sanders is running up the score with Latinos, it's a very difficult place for Biden or anyone else to be in. And you think about Biden's you know, base of support. He promised he would do well with working class whites. That was taken off the table in Iowa and New Hampshire. He promised he would do well with diverse voters. He didn't do well with Latinos. He's doing still okay retaining support with African Americans. And that's as narrow as his base has gotten now.
What about Pete Buttigieg, Domenico? He came in first in Iowa, barely, second in New Hampshire, and then third in Nevada, but he did just get the endorsement of the state newspaper in South Carolina. What are you expecting from him tonight and going into this weekend?
Well, you know, Buttigieg has done very well with college-educated whites, but that's about it. He was had a chance in Nevada to show that he could expand his base and hasn't been able to do it. So unless he can show in South Carolina that he can have a surprising finish, it's going to be difficult to see where he fits in come Super Tuesday and whether or not he can actually, you know, be the pledged delegate leader to build a coalition big enough to do that.
We've also got Tom Steyer on the stage tonight, Elizabeth Warren, who really went on the attack last time. Do you expect her to do more of that tonight in the debate, attacking everybody but Sanders, or is she going to go after Sanders too?
I think she'd probably lay off Sanders compared to the rest of the field. She went after Sanders a little bit in that last debate. What her team says is they saw in the entrance polls in Nevada that people who said they decided in the last few days, she did very well with them. Mm-hmm. But because three quarters of the vote was banked early, she didn't really have a chance to change the trajectory of how she would finish. So they're hoping that a forceful debate here in South Carolina can propel her not just into South Carolina and have a decent finish, but into some of those Super Tuesday states.
Domenico, do you think that it's possible that some candidates will drop out after South Carolina but before Super Tuesday?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at Amy Klobuchar in particular. She hasn't had great finishes other than the third place finish in New Hampshire, which was a good finish for her. She certainly can argue she's done better than expectations. She's raised a decent amount of money since New Hampshire. But, you know, how long do you go on and what is the rationale for your candidacy if you continue to finish in fourth, fifth or sixth place?
If Biden loses in South Carolina, you think he could drop out before Super Tuesday?
It's very possible. It's going to be a big crack up in the Democratic Party if he winds up losing Saturday.
Domenico Montanaro, NPR senior political editor and correspondent, thank you.
You're welcome.